Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit seriously.
Hey, yo, 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 mic check. 1, 2. Episode 161?
Yeah, 161.
Goddamn, episode 161, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, we back after a break. How you been, Josh?
Cooling, man, cooling. Can breathe.
How it's about lovely. That? We just talked for like... We talked for like 2 hours and I didn't ask you how your face feels. I've been looking at you for 2 hours.
It's cool, man. You know, kind of sucks because I can smell a lot more stuff now.
Really?
Yeah. And like, there's a lot of shit that stinks, dog. Like, you know what I mean? Sucks.
The world stinks.
Being able to smell ain't the best thing in the world. I'm feeling good. You know what I mean? Nose is still a little swollen. Mm-hmm. They said it takes like 8 weeks to completely heal and shit like that. Still can't like really rub it. Like I can't, like if my nose itch, I can't, you know, normally you just get nose itch, you just rub on your nose. Mm-hmm. Can't do that shit. That hurts like crazy. And like the very tip of my nose, like right here, like the joint that has that little thing that connects to the top of your lip. Mm-hmm. That's all completely numb, but that's because they got to cut like a nerve right there when they do the surgery. So, there's a chance I'll never have feeling there again.
Feel better,
You know what I mean? Which, you know, as long as I'm not like in some dire snowstorm or some shit like that, I'll be good. I ain't got to worry about it.
Wait, why a snowstorm?
Because like you get like frostbite on your nose and shit.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
Yeah, like I wouldn't know. Like it would literally just be frostbite. Like, I wouldn't even fucking know. Jeez. My joint wouldn't know. But like, yeah, so I'm good. I mean, you know, it was cool. Recovery was shitty for like the first couple of days. But then after that, it was, you know, it's sore, just regular shit, man. Nothing too crazy.
You bounce back quick.
Yeah. You know, I got a little Wolverine in me, you know what I mean?
The healing factor.
Yeah, I got an adamantium nose and shit, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, I was cooling. I feel good, man. Like, I feel better. There's been a couple people who, like, I talked to on the phone, and were like, yo, you sound a little different. Your voice, you don't sound as nasally as you were before, shit like that.
True.
So, yeah, I'm not mad at that, dog. I'm not mad at that at all. So a couple people was like, reached out and was like, yo, do you think you're going to like sound different on the podcast? And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. I assumed you would. You sound a little bit different, but it's not like a crazy drastic difference.
I was hoping I'd get like that really deep, like a whole like shit with Chase. I get that deep baritone.
Barry White shit.
Yeah. Okay. I'm like, yeah, baby. I could fill in that spot for the Boys to Men because that boy left the group, didn't he?
Was it the boy with the deep voice that left?
I think he left.
That's bullshit, yo. You can't handle R&B group. You don't got the bass boy.
No, you need him. That's what I'm saying. Like, I got jumped up like, baby, you know, I didn't appreciate what I had. And then, like, you know, they singing. Ooh,
in the background.
Yeah, like. I was hoping I'd come through with that shit. I could do that shit. I get a job at like WDAS as the Quiet Storm Bowl.
Quiet Storm, yo. I really want to do, I'm sure somebody's written this, like a history of the Quiet Storm.
I don't know, man. Like, you know, you always feel that way where you're like, oh man, I want to do something. Somebody probably already did it. Never know.
You never know until you look. But yeah, I don't know. It seems like... we've been going for a week, right? We didn't take 2 weeks, did we?
Yeah, it was a week. It seems like 2 weeks because we recorded early the week of my surgery. We recorded on like a Thursday.
Yeah, it feels like we haven't done this in a while.
Yeah, it does seem like that. Yeah.
Yeah,
because it would be like two Sundays off for us, which is not normal. Normally, we're every Sunday.
Right, right.
Yeah. It's good to be back though. Had a crazy week of just busy shit to talk about too. So
yeah, mad shit has been going on. Niggas are battling. The verses is still happening. It's just been I don't know. Quarantine has been, it's been brutal in a way. It's been, you know, I know a lot of folks are like struggling with like being alone and shit, being cooped up in the crib. The internet has been fucking lit. So yeah, this whole time, you know what I mean? So at least that's like, I hope, like a consolation, you know. Hey, what
listen,
I mean,
man, we the draft was last week. The NBA draft was last week. Mm-hmm. And about like an hour and a half before the draft, Al Horford ass got sent the fuck way out to Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
We got rid of that nut ass contract.
It's paying like, this nigga $1 billion.
I'm gonna say it right now. Football season can end right now. Sixers start. I'm ready to go, dog. I'm ready.
Let's go.
I'm ready to go. Like, I need a couple more grainy videos of Ben Simmons shooting threes over 5'8" trainers. And
it's always like some Rick Moranis looking dude in the NBA joints. The niggas be like juking him and shit. Come on,
I need
man.
That. We got a Curry brother now.
Right, Seth Curry.
Yeah, man.
Man.
It, listen, man, I'm all the way in. We got Dwight Howard on the team now. I don't know how I really feel about that.
He could either play his role and, you know, we rock out. You know, he back up Embiid a little bit, take a couple minutes. You know what I mean? Or he could torpedo this whole shit. It could be either one. And I think like, that's...
No, I was going to say, he's an anti-vaxxer, I think. So
is he?
Yeah, so like he might convince the whole team not to get the to get the corona vaccine or something. Like,
no,
we really could be out here living dangerous. But I mean, he was part of that Lakers championship team, so
listen,
you know,
that's close. That's like championship adjacent.
Yes,
for us.
We got two. We got Danny Green. Danny Green that got two, the last two championships.
Crazy,
you know what I mean? So like, by like just, you know, fucking like, you know, shit of elimination or whatever, like, we should be winning the championship this year.
Somebody named this episode by the shit of elimination. We winning a fucking chip. Man, I hope
process
Danny
of
Green
elimination. My brain ain't working, dog. It's like 1 in the morning, man.
I hope Danny Green come to the Sixers and he's, like, balling out of his mind. I don't expect that to happen.
Bubble.
I remember.
I
was watching that shit. Yeah, I don't expect it, but I hope that's what happens.
I mean, I think, like, we're not going to be asking him to be, like, a huge part. Just like Steph. I mean, Seth. Mm-hmm. Seth Curry ain't going to be.
Dog?
Yeah, like, we don't need you to score 30 points a game, dog. We just need, you know what I mean, 3 threes a game. Give us that. So, you know, I think that'll help. We got much more spacing on the floor now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're going to have Horford standing there fucking clapping because he missed a fucking bunny layup.
Yeah. Jesus.
You got his nutty sister the hell out of the city. She's sitting here shitting on Philly all left and right. Her and his brother. They both suckers.
Were they?
Whole family of suckers. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, listen, the fans were terrible too. They said some trifling shit back to her.
Oh, jeez.
But that's not like super surprising because, you know, the internet is shit bags most of the time anyway.
Motherfuckers, like, you know, I'm mostly in like the hip hop world, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Which is like its own thing as far as like dudes being awful. Sports niggas is awful, dog. I be seeing like on Twitter. It'll be like a woman who's like in the WNBA. She like 6'5", clearly a gifted black basketball player, has been an elite basketball player her entire life. And her comments will just be dudes like, yo, I'll trash you 1-on-1. Like, it's just fucking terrible shit. I'm like,
dude got cut from
the
JV team in high school. He like, I'm telling you, I'll give you 20 straight up, like no problem.
This nigga ain't been off the couch.
Nah.
And
nah.
He could beat a professional basketball player.
It's like Mina Kimes is like ESPN's like one of their biggest people for like football. Mm-hmm. And like, yo, dog, her mentions. Like her, Katie Nolan, mm-hmm. like any woman in sports, dog, like their mentions are just like the dumpster fire of like fucking of humanity, dog. Like yeah. It's so like, oh, like stay calling them out their name and mm-hmm. you don't know shit and why yeah. would you know, you ain't never played the game and blah blah blah. And it's just like
outright hostility.
You ain't play the game, so why the fuck do you think you know anything? Like, right. Nah, it is like you said. There's dudes that'll tell you, like, oh, I don't watch the WNBA because I don't watch people I'm better than, and blah blah blah. It's like, dog,
you can't even hoop, dog.
Dog,
like I know you can't hoop.
No, Reggie Miller's sister give you 30 right now. Like, man. I don't think she's played in like 25 years.
I was gonna say Cheryl Miller give a lot of niggas 30. Ain't gonna hold you. Was it her or was it Lisa Leslie who dropped like a bean in like,
I think it's
15
Cheryl.
Minutes. Was it Cheryl?
Yeah.
Dropped like a bean in like 15 minutes in high school.
Yeah. She was a beast.
What do that even look like? Like
what? Dog, she legit is the like the best player in a family, and Reggie's a fucking Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
Like your brother is a Hall of Famer, and he's nothing compared to you. Like she's yeah. like the WNBA didn't exist when she was around. Obviously, like if
in
she would have like
yeah,
yeah, she would have fucking, you know what I mean? Like she'd have been. Unstoppable in that
league. Should be like Wilt in the WNBA, dropping yeah. like 50. Reggie Miller said it himself. He was like, "Yeah, I couldn't fuck with my sister."
Like, when no, he was I don't. Young, I think like, he said he never beat her.
That's crazy. Reggie Miller's a beast. Y'all young niggas listening, like y'all niggas that you know, young niggas, y'all don't know Reggie Miller was a beast, and his sister is a cannon.
Yeah.
To be better than him.
Yeah. Also. We might get what we all been waiting for. Your man LaMelo got drafted by Mike in Charlotte. That means LeVar gonna be down there. And you know, your man Mike is petty as shit. So
Mike, I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen. The first day of camp, if Pops is there, Mike gonna show up in some shorts.
Oh yeah.
They gonna be jean shorts.
With a bunch of rips and shit in them, man.
Tassels and shit.
He gonna have bootcut jean shorts on. And
could you imagine, dog? You imagine Mike giving you 30 and he got bootcuts on? How embarrassed you would be? Come on, man.
He probably gonna have like some Jordans with a heel. Like, you know, he'd be wearing them heeled boots. He'd be wearing like Chelsea boots. Yeah.
Chelsea. The Cuban heel Jordan. Yeah. Yo.
It will come down. Yeah. He gonna give LeVar all the work.
He got a bunch of like thin gold chains. He got a diamond in both earrings.
Yeah.
He just got hit fadeaways.
He still be rocking a hoop. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
He got a hoop. He hit mad fadeaways on you. Embarrassing.
But my man thought he legit had the power to bring the Hitler mustache back. Like he had did. That in a goddamn commercial.
He did. He said, yo, the people, he said, I'm so nice. Niggas will love me. Even though I got the little Hitler mustache. Mike is an animal, dog.
He's a ballsy dude,
dog. You're not fucking with Mike. LeVar Ball's an asshole. To average 2 points a game in college and say you can fuck with Mike. Mike was running with James Worthy. Come on, dog. Get the fuck out of here. Told you could beat Mike 1-on-1.
LeVar gonna show up in the baggy ass sweatpants with the cargo pocket on the side.
Uh-huh.
With a triple B stencil on them bitches.
Man. This is gonna be the battle of the worst outfits. 1-on-1, who got the worst outfit, nigga?
Yeah. Man. He gonna have a triple B shirt with a thermal underneath that joint.
A V-neck swooping down. Come on, man. Like, show
take
up.
His shit off like he did when he was in the WWE that time. He took his shirt off and shit.
Yeah, yeah. Yo.
It's going to be a mess.
I would pay for that footage.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Listen, Mike and Tyson and Roy Jones fighting, I think, like next week.
Jesus.
I would legit pay $50 to watch MJ and fucking LaVar Ball play against each other.
Man.
I mean, MJ. I wouldn't. I'd just like watch that shit on a torrent. But like.
Yeah, it's bootlegging.
I'd say I'd pay money for it.
I might invite niggas to the crib and we on quarantine. I might be like, all right, we go have a kickback.
Dog, did you go see eat how many people food? Was at his crib?
Who?
When LaMelo got drafted?
When he got drafted? Really?
There was like 100 people in there, dog. There was like 100 people in that bitch.
Man, come on.
Dog,
you serious?
It was insane. Yeah.
Y'all gotta chill. Y'all not testing everybody that's coming in there.
Nah. No one was like, LaVar was not standing at the door with like the thermometer, like,
the temperature check.
You 100 degrees, like you can't come in. Like, no, he was like, yo, just come in.
I went to a restaurant in Baltimore. It was like by the water and shit. And I walked in and I greeted, you know, the greeter or whatever. And she hit me with the joint in my forehead, like, bink. So I was like, oh, what the fuck? I didn't expect that shit. Man.
But yo, you gotta be careful. You got, like, dog, I be seeing so many people post like, yo, that shit isn't cool for it's not good for you. It's got radio waves and blah blah blah. I'm like, dog, you're typing this on a fucking cell phone that you fucking hold to your face every other minute. Like,
yep.
I'm pretty sure them taking your temperature is gonna be okay, dog.
Yeah. That's not the thing that's pushing you over the cancer spectrum. Jesus.
It's probably that thing that has more computing power than the shit we sent people to the moon in the fucking 60s.
Right.
Like, I'm pretty sure that next to your head is probably a lot worse for you than the fucking 2 seconds that thermometer is up there, yo.
Right.
Yeah, we should probably hop out to a break.
Yeah, let's take a break and come back and talk. We could talk Fresh Prince.
Yes.
They did the reunion show this week. It was super fucking lit. So yeah, we're going to hop out, take a quick break, and we're going to come back. All right, boom. Right back in effect. The cast of the beloved 90s sitcom, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, all got back together for a reunion show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, except for Uncle Phil, rest in peace.
Yeah, James Avery, rest in peace. He passed away. I'll say this, I don't fuck with J. Cole. But when he did that song, he jumped on. His first line was like, "Was it first things first? Rest in peace, Uncle Phil." That was a hard line to jump in. I fuck with that shit. I was like, "Oh, all right, you know." But it was ill to see. Obviously, like, you know, we from Philly, we love Will. You know what I'm saying? I loved the Fresh Prince when it was on.
Yeah, me too. I loved Fresh Prince when it was on.
It was so cool to see them. Not only the cast get together and like reconnect, you see everybody look a little older and shit. They all still look good.
Tatiana Ali looks fucking amazing, dog.
If you saw her in a fucking grocery store somewhere, just on the humbug, she bad as shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. She look almost exactly the same. Like, she looks like... Right. Like the end of, like toward the end of Fresh Prince, like the last season where she was like in high school, like she still looks like almost like that. Like, yeah, you know,
she's
what
like
I mean?
Her own sister.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody's skin looked good and shit. It was cool to see everybody, you know, reconnect. But also, I don't think that much, I could be wrong. It could be something that I missed, but I don't think that much discussion has been had about maybe in recent years, but certainly not when the show was out, but like the themes that they dealt with on The Fresh Prince. And they really dug into that shit in the reunion. It wasn't like a fluffy reunion, like some shows where it's just like, oh, hey, everybody, and it's just the cast and it's whatever, you know, they talked about how the show dealt with race, and they talked about how the show dealt with policing and all of these different things, and what the show meant to different viewers and stuff. It seemed like they really were intentional about contextualizing what the show actually meant in the world in a reunion, which I didn't exactly expect that from a reunion show. I thought it was just going to be like a fluffy thing where they all get back together and like, oh, hey, you know, laugh and then that's it. But they really like talked about the broader social political issues that the show dealt with.
Yeah, it was, I wasn't expecting that. I actually didn't know exactly what to expect going into it. I kind of avoided watching it at first because I was like, oh man, I really don't want to watch like a super sad thing with James Avery not being there. I was like, I don't know if I really want to be like super sad right now.
Yeah.
I did feel like him missing was hard. Like that was hard to sit and have him not be there, because he is such like a big figure, and he's like, excuse me. What's crazy is like watching it, I remembered like, oh man, like he may be like my favorite like connecting character through that. Mm-hmm. Like obviously we all know the, you know, why he don't love me scene. Like he's great in that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I loved when he like one of my favorite episodes is the one where he goes and plays pool and he hustles the I fucking love that episode.
It's so good.
Because it shows like, oh, he cares, like he does care about Will. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? And he's not a slouch. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you think he's like, oh, he's this dude who listens to classical music and he's just, you know, right. Up in the... But, like, no, he's like, he's not a slouch, dog. Like, he's from the hood. So, like, I love that. I loved when he, like, jumps down the cop's joint when they arrest him in the car. Like, I love all that shit. So, him not being there, like, just kind of felt a little empty. Like, it felt a little, like, peace was missing. But I'm sure they knew that, like, going in. But yeah, I wasn't expecting them to talk about, I thought maybe like that would be something they may avoid, or the, cause that scene with Jazz got really popular again with everything that was going on with police brutality, is that like the thing where he's like, yo, I already know the deal. I put my hands down. Next thing you know, I'm shot 6 times in the back.
Right.
Like that got really popular again because of what the fuck, obviously what we seeing every day.
Still going on, yeah.
Yeah, so, and I love the fact that they go, like, it's crazy that it's 30 years ago and that shit is still fucking relevant.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And you got that from Will, who, you know, I love Will, but, like, you know, Will, you know, he's fucking, you know, talk about, like, you know, he's a super duper star, and that whole thing with, like, Mike, where he's like, oh, well, you know, Republicans buy sneakers, even though that turned out to not actually be true that he said it. But like that whole idea came around like, oh, well, listen, man, like I keep myself out of like controversial things. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. A lot of, you know, super famous, like prominent and successful, like crossover black celebrities intentionally avoid race.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's a little different now. You know, it's not like back in the day where it was like, you know, there may have been like a handful of like black celebrities that candidly talked about this. Now, pretty much everybody, most celebrities are like on board with like the Black Lives Matter movement and all of that stuff. So you see it as more prominent now. But yeah. Absolutely, like somebody of Will Smith's stature, you wouldn't necessarily think that, you know, this reunion built around, you know, his show would have dealt with these different themes. I also appreciated that the actress Janet Hubert, who played the original Aunt Viv, came back and they had like their own heart to heart.
Yes.
On the shit. They kind of like, they acknowledged, you know, what happened where, you know, she was switched out. She was fired and then switched out with another actress. And her and Will went and had their own little like separate moment because it came from tensions between them, you know, on the set, the reason why she ended up leaving. And she told him straight up, like, yo, you fucked me up and you fucked me over. You went out into Hollywood and said, this black woman is difficult on set, and it killed my career. And he was accountable, and he was like, yo, you know, I was young. I didn't realize I had, you know, the power that I had and all of this shit. And they really, like, I thought that was going to be when it kind of, you know, leaked or was put out there before this thing aired that she would be involved. You know, I didn't expect them to talk about like she was bringing it up like, you know, I'm a black woman, I'm a dark-skinned black woman, you know what I mean, people are already looking at me like a stereotype, like I'm aggressive or whatever, and you fed into that shit. I didn't expect that conversation to happen.
No.
You know,
no, that's
saying?
Something you'd be like, oh, maybe they had that discussion off air to then have her be part of this, like,
right.
That wasn't right. Something I expected to see in the special. You know what I mean? So I love the fact that they did that. They kind of bared all shit. Like, they were just like, yo, this is what we're going to talk about, what's going on, and blah, 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 blah. Now, it was really good. Did you see they performed Brand New Funk?
I did. I did.
That was super dope. I threw that in our story.
Which is a hard fucking, you know, that's a hard rhyme to spit. You know what I'm saying? The shit that Will is doing on that shit. Come on, man. Niggas always front on Will. I was about to say the same shit.
Yo, people sleep. Will was a fucking beast, dog.
Yeah.
Like, I know everybody, oh, parents just don't understand and shit like that. But, like, Will was a beast on
Welcome
the mic.
To Miami and all that. But, like, nah. Yeah. That motherfucker was rapping.
Yeah. It wasn't just Men in Black. Like, you know what I mean? This dude was really, he could really spit. But no, I love that. I love Jazz being a part of it because, like, he's almost could be like a throwaway character.
Yeah.
What I noticed too is, and I didn't think about them, but like the softer side of it, in the sense that, like, it was tackling an idea of toxic masculinity, even all the way back then, of just like these intimate relationships. Like, you look at the relationship. Like, when they talk about what was crazy, I don't even get off on it as I started talking about something else, but when they was talking about Will mouthing other people's lines, and they were showing him and what's my man's name? I can't think of it right now. Don Cheadle.
Oh, Don Cheadle. Yeah.
But, like, when they come in, he's, like, hitting them, but, like, he's holding them, and, like, when they're sitting there talking, they're, like, real close to each other.
Yeah.
And that's something like you wouldn't always see. A lot of times people are like, oh, well, you gotta sit like far. We can't be like, you know, real close to each other. We're two guys, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Little stuff like that, stuff with like his cousin, and like just this closeness that he had. I don't know, man. Like, it was as a kid growing up with like no real family, I always loved watching like people be like so tight with their families.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that resembled, for me, that resembled something more that I could see, because I didn't have like brothers and sisters and like I didn't have that. Oh, I could like go off with an uncle I didn't know I had, and like, you know what I mean? That kind of shit seemed more attainable. So, like, I don't know, man. I just loved it, and I love seeing some of that. I love seeing, like, it made me want to go, like, yo, I'm going to sit here and binge fucking Fresh Prince now, because...
Yeah, just watch them, yeah.
Yeah, like, it made me want to sit and watch them. I mean, me and you have talked about this before. I think it's inherently more rewatchable than Martin.
Some of Martin is rough now.
Yeah.
And I love Martin it still, rough. But yeah, some of it's rough.
And there's still stuff that I like to do. There's stuff in the Martin shit, like when they go away and that little furry thing comes, like, it's legit one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
When he's like hiding under the bed and he thinks like Gina's cheating on him.
Right.
and the party bull, the white bull comes and all that. Like, that shit is like fucking flat out some of the funniest shit ever. But like, I do think, like, overall, I think Fresh Prince stands up better. For the test of time. But like, it legit made me go like, yo, I want to sit and just like rewatch that shit. I may throw that shit on the night when I get ready to lay down and shit and just watch that.
It was a really dope show, and I appreciated them, you know, doing a reunion and all of that. It I think it resonates a lot with younger people. I know people who, you know, we were teenagers when it was out. You know, I know folks who were, you know, toddlers when it was out, and they loved that shit.
Yeah, my kids like Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
I mean, they know of Martin's show, but they don't watch it. Like, I've seen them watch the Fresh Prince.
Yeah, it's something about the energy of that shit that still holds up. It's like, yeah.
People can criticize Will for a lot of things, but that motherfucker is charismatic as shit, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, his energy is fucking insane and charismatic as shit. Yeah. And like, you see, like, if you watch that, you go, oh, I see why this dude became like one of the biggest movie stars in the world. Yeah. Like, you can watch those first two seasons and just be like, oh, yeah, this dude was going to be the biggest. It's like watching early Eddie Murphy. You go like, oh, yeah. Like, it makes sense that this dude is going to be the biggest person on the planet. Yeah.
And it's crazy because he was on Will. I mean, was in an ensemble full of gifted people.
Yes.
James Avery is a brilliant actor, you know.
Shakespearean actor, dog.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you could take him and, like, Othello in the Park. Go, you know, Shakespeare in the Park, Othello, go do that. You know what I mean? Alfonso Ribeiro is, like,
insane.
Crazy insane. Talented. Insane. But, like, the whole time you're watching, Will is, like, the center of gravity in that shit.
Yeah. They're all amazing. Like, that whole cast was amazing. I love the first Aunt Viv. I love her. I loved her, like just like her presence.
Yeah.
And I also love that, like, she, you can see so much in there where she's just like, and I mean, like, this, I guess there's maybe more character than anything else, of just being like, oh, she thinks Will is, like, where, like, he pisses off Uncle Phil. She kind of gets a kick out of him being, like, crazy. Like, I think that, you can, like, see, like, certain facial reactions where she's, like, she wants to laugh at something that Will does that's, right. Like, fucking got, like, Uncle Phil, like, just, like, out of his head. Like, when he comes down and he's got, like, the hat, like, with the brim up, and he's got a bow tie on with a t-shirt with the suit jacket. Yeah. Like, Uncle Phil's like, what the fuck? And she's just, like, smiling, like, like, you know what I mean? I loved first Aunt Viv. Second Aunt Viv was cool. Yeah. I always felt, like, a little disconnected from her.
Right. It's hard to, like, fill that in. First Aunt Viv had did, like, the episode where they were fighting to get Black History in the school. She had did the episode where she did, like, the famous dance routine.
Killed, like, that
how
shit.
Do you, that's, like, iconic shit. How do you follow in?
Yeah.
How do you follow in behind that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, but I loved it, man. It was great. I definitely say people should need to go watch that shit. It was so good.
Yeah. Dope. It's so dope good. And really fucking fun.
Yeah. Absolutely. We also had, so we had Will, you know, dealing with his beefs with, what's her name? I can't think of her name. I'm not good with it. Janet Hubert. First Aunt Viv.
First Aunt Viv, yeah.
We had him handling his beefs. We had a whole nother beef get handled.
That shit was so crazy, dog.
And I honestly thought they might get into a scrap the whole fucking time.
So Jeezy battled Gucci Mane.
Gucci.
This past what was it, Thursday?
Yeah, Wednesday or Thursday, yeah.
Was there a Thursday they battled? Dog, at one point, Gucci said some shit to this nigga. Gucci was standing up, Jeezy was sitting down. And for folks who don't know, they famously beefed in the 2000s. it ended with a young man being killed. You know what I mean? So it was like not a joking thing at all. Jeezy or Gucci said some shit to Jeezy, and I sat up in my couch and I was like, hold up. Because in the lead up to this whole thing, they were throwing little shots at each other on the internet. You know what I mean? They've been like, over the years, they've said like awful things yes. to each other. Gucci killed a nigga that was associated with Jeezy and then joked about the shit. And talked about it in songs and like made light of it. I can't think of I'm a figure it out. I can't think of what Gucci said to him. Dog, I sat up and I was like, hold up. Like he's like really being disrespectful now, and they're like, you know, not even 10 feet away from each other. They were in Magic City battling.
Yeah.
But it turned out that it was like, it was all like scripted, right? Like this shit was like,
I think so, yeah.
Because they ended up doing their song together, So Icy, which was the song that started the beef.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jeezy was supposed to be in the video or something. I can't remember. I read it in like Murder Dog, like back in like 2002,
and Fans Magazine or something.
You know what I'm saying? I think. Jeezy was supposed to be in a video, didn't show up or some
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah, I think that was
and they start
like
beefing. But yeah, they did this whole, they were like really like talking shit. The DJs were in the back talking shit to
Dog,
each other.
The show opens with like the battle opens with like with Gucci like straight dissing with Jeezy, like,
yeah.
Yo, I'm a real gangster. This shit ain't, I ain't a sucker like this other boy. I'm like, yo, how do you start the battle that way?
Because like, Versus is supposed to be like a friendly thing.
Yeah.
Man, you remember when RZA battled Premier and they was like, yeah, beloved, you know, I love when you did XYZ. They was really like showing love to each other. These motherfuckers came out with disrespect.
Somebody was like, I saw somebody on Twitter be like, yo, is this the same Versus that Patti LaBelle and them was on? Like,
Jill Scott and Badu?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's the same Versus.
This shit was like the opposite energy, man. I sat up and was like, hold up. Like, yeah. This shit, I really thought, like, man, these niggas could, like, knuckle at any point.
Yeah, it had that vibe of, like, yo, this shit could get, like, nasty at some point because,
man,
you know, even though they didn't really do like, you know, they weren't doing the diss songs that they had for each other,
yeah,
but like you still felt that, like, just like that vibe in the air. Then he like they talking about like, yeah, you know, I ain't out here in like, you know, $1,000 suits, but I own half of Atlanta and blah blah blah. I'm like,
he's like trying to stun on that man. Yeah. Yo,
I don't know, man. That shit was, it was one of those things where it's like, if it was they cruise with them, that shit might have, because you know, you know, the crew, somebody in the crew like, fuck it, I'm the live wire, so it's on. Uh-huh. Bang! Like,
your
you
man
know what
make
I mean?
It happen. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, man. And that's why I was like, it's probably a good thing that we don't got like 30 dudes on stage with each one of these dudes, because something would have jumped off, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that shit, man, it's, They had me fooled. If it was really, you know, because it could have been, you know, that all of this is bullshit and they made up, you know, off camera, and they're just like, or they just decided like, oh, we're going to just do this, you know, because it's a good look for our careers. And then, you know, they just decided to do it. It could have also been, you know, or they decided to like script the whole thing, like all the little shots they were throwing. Or it could have been that they decided, okay, at the end, we're going to do this So Icy song. But in the middle, you know, during the battle, opted to actively disrespect one another. I don't know which one it is. You know what I mean? But the shit was rough. A motherfucker, the shit Gucci was saying to Jeezy, a motherfucker couldn't jokingly say that to me while I'm sitting.
No.
Right there. You know what I mean? The shit he's calling a sucker or whatever he was saying, like that shit, I don't see how you could like script that and then you do the song together at the end.
Like, yo, like you said, the DJs was hyping that shit up and like it was getting messy.
This how you know the DJs was lit. Niggas was on quarantine too long. They ain't been in them clubs wilding out, man. There's Jeezy DJ in particular.
Yeah.
Can't think of what song Gucci and him did. And then Jeezy DJ got on the mic, was like, nigga, how you gonna play a song with somebody else drops in it? I'm like, what the fuck? Like, man.
Yeah, they was messy, dog. The DJs was messy as shit.
Man, real extra disrespectful. I'm glad that nothing, you know. I'm glad that nobody got shot up at the after party or no goofy shit and nothing happened. Dog,
then they went to the after. It was like 4,000 people in compound. Nobody had a mask on. Like,
Atlanta, y'all got to chill out.
Out of Atlanta, just another planet? Or, like, what? I had to hit my homie up down there, like, yo, you wasn't in compound, was you?
Like, you cool? Like, stay away from that shit.
Yeah, like.
Niggas might, it might be like Wakanda. Like, they might have the technology to cure that shit.
Yeah, they on a whole different level. Who you think won the battle?
For me, you know, I'm not a South boy, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When I think about the early aughts, you know, I remember Gucci and, like, you know, Make the Trap Say, hey, all that shit.
Yeah.
OJ the Juice Man and all that shit. I liked all that shit. But when I think of Jeezy, the shit he did with Hov, like, as an East Coast person, Jeezy shit was rocking harder up here for me. Kanye, Good Life, all of that shit. You know what I mean?
Yo, you put on.
Put on, man.
That dog, that shit, like, I love certain stuff from Gucci. I do.
Yeah.
He starts a lot of rhymes with East Atlanta Santa. Like, there's a lot of rhymes that start with East Atlanta Santa, dog.
I love that he played the Lemonade shit.
The Lemonade. That's my thing. Lemonade is up there, though. Like, it's so hard to be like, oh, no, but Jeezy just has so many joints that are like that. You know what I mean?
This not a joint where like when niggas battle and it's like real peaceful and they be like, oh, the culture won. The culture ain't win this one.
Nah.
These niggas disrespected each other. I would say Jeezy won just off the strength of, like, I fuck with more of his songs.
Jeezy joints, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I like Gucci. I like some of Gucci's stuff, but definitely Jeezy, like, pulled that out. Like, what's crazy is there's some of, like, the originators of the ad-lib being, like, just as important as the actual lyrics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cuz the burr shit that Gucci did, like, my son who don't know Gucci really from nobody, like, know that shit, you know what I mean?
It's like in the lexicon.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, I think it's Jeezy in the end, but, like, I don't know. Gucci's also wild disrespectful. And, like, I really appreciate that.
It's ad points for disrespect.
Yeah, like, I like disrespectful dudes. So, like, I kind of like that. I love that because he's just like, yo, I'm 5 feet away from you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to say what I want. So
saying everything, man.
Yeah. Plus that little, like, that Gucci, I don't know if it was like a jacket or a shawl or whatever that thing he had on. That nigga shit had a cape. Yeah.
He had a Gucci Doctor Strange cape.
Yeah. That shit was fly than a motherfucker. So, yeah. We should probably hop out to another break before we get to this new music because we got a lot of new music this week.
Yeah, let's do it. Boom, right back at it. So yeah, what new music have you been listening to this week?
A lot of stuff this week. We missed a lot of shit last week too, so it's been a heavy, like, release schedule these last couple weeks.
Yeah, motherfuckers been dropping new music like no mas shit.
Yeah, definitely. So I checked out French Montana dropped a new joint, CB5, which I'm assuming is like Coke Boys 5. And it's a return to form for French.
I ain't listened to the whole thing, but he got joints on this shit. I listened to some of it. He got some shit on here.
Like, he's got my favorite song probably maybe this year, but the joint with Benny, Wave Blues, is, I fucking love that song, dog.
Yeah.
He's got like two joints with Max on here that's fucking crazy. Like, that's the joint. Did you hear that one yet? Phenomenon?
Which one is that?
With Max B on this joint?
I don't think I did.
It's got your favorite LL Cool J song, Something Like a Phenomenon. It's got like...
I do like that song.
It's got Max singing that. Like, he'd be like, Something Like a Phenomenon.
Let's go.
I'm something. Like, I was like,
yeah.
Yo, I'm kind of fucking with this.
Max B is locked up. And he putting out hot records. Before quarantine happened, I was playing that shit where he doing like the... You know, the Sade shit was like... All I want is to remember. He got a joint where he doing that shit. I was playing that shit at the functions before everything closed down. I'm like, this nigga in jail. He doing Sade songs. Come on.
Yeah. Talk about another beef that's got squashed. French got a joint with Jim Jones.
I saw that. And I wasn't mad at it. I listened to it. I wasn't mad at that shit.
That joint's really good. He's got a couple joints with you got a joint with Chinks on here. Where's the other joint that I want?
Pop Smoke on this joint.
Pop Smoke on the joint. He got Into the Sun Part 2 with Currency. Getting butter, yo.
Currency don't miss.
Nah. Like, listen, it's a little long for a record. It's 19 songs. You know I'm, not about 19 song records.
New York niggas gonna give you 19-20 songs, dog.
Yeah.
That's a rule.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's definitely return to form. I haven't liked the last couple joints that French put out. And this joint is super return to form.
Nice.
I checked that joint out this week. You listen to anything new this week?
I listened to everything we got on deck.
Okay.
Yeah.
All what did you shit. Think of Good News by Meg Thee Stallion?
I think she rapping her ass off. You know what I'm saying? I think my sweetheart is twerking her ass off to this record. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's cool because I think that I haven't like sat. It's really literally like because Liz has been playing it since it came out is how I heard it. But I think it's cool that Meg is like barring you down on this record. You know, we appreciate like the super rapping. But then also a lot of the beats are like sample flips, which I like.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, so, she starts it off with a sample, like a flip of Ashacha.
The Biggie shit, yeah. Yeah, coming at nut ass Tory Lanez.
Yeah. I really like that joint. I like Cry Baby with the baby. Freaky Girls with SZA,
right?
It's and then she's got some older stuff that's been around for a little bit. I love the joint with Popcorn on there too. Intercourse.
The
DJ Mustard joint.
Yeah,
that shit is hard. And then I love the joint. I loved Girls in the Hood. I love that song. Mm-hmm. That's been around for a while. But yeah, this joint go hard. This joint go hard.
Yeah.
I do like this record. Like
what she does after this shit.
Yeah. Well, she just won GQ just like not necessarily won, but GQ called her like rapper of the year.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And like I knew some people that were like, "Oh, well her album didn't even come out this year." It's like, well, they probably did it cuz they knew this album was getting ready to drop.
It'll come, yeah.
And she's like, she's on one of the biggest records of the year in WAP. Like, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's also in I was talking to people, and I'm just like, it's also GQ. So like, it's not necessarily they're known for their hip hop reporting. Right. So like,
they're not digging up the underground whoever.
No. And on top of that, the fact that like she can rap, like Meg can rap
like a motherfucker.
Hey, go listen. If you just listen to, what is it, Send a Shot? Shots Fired, mm-hmm. the first track. It, she can rap, dog. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, she's dope with what she does. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. I think it's a good record. You know, and like you said, you know, Liz is over there, like, loving it. And that's who this record is aimed at. Right. Like, you know what I mean? A lot of this record is aimed at.
Yeah.
And so if that's who's enjoying it, then that's what this person, that's yeah. the whole point.
The shit so, it.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, Philly's own Meek Mill, he dropped the quarantine pack.
Shout out to Meek.
Yeah. Yeah. I know some people aren't loving it. It's only four joints anyway, but I do like the both joints with the dude Vori on it. Is that what
is that the dude singing?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the boy on the first and the last track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the first joint.
Yeah, I like both of them joints. I like the joint Pain Away with Lil Durk.
Mm-hmm. I fuck with Durk.
I don't. Yeah, I don't love the joint with the boy 42 Doug. Mm-hmm. Little light on that, but you know, it's cool. It's not like the best thing Meek's ever done. But he probably had like a, he probably had a bunch of like shots in the chamber, but no album ready. And just was like, yo, let's put something out.
Yeah. Just to like,
you know what I mean?
Literally, yeah. Yo, we're on lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
I'll throw something out there.
Yeah. One thing I will say, man, you know, I've seen some people criticize, like, oh, well, there's not been like a lot of like protest rap because of what's mm-hmm. been going on, which means you haven't been paying attention. But just in general, like what we've got like some crazy records this year.
Right. Really good.
And I mean, we still have a whole month left. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Drake is dropping in December. Man. Shout out to the homie Reef. He's dropping his record in like next week.
Mm-hmm. Shout out Reef.
There's still like a bunch of folks. What you call it dropping next week too? You know, that's my Young's Teflon record drop next week.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what I mean? Like I'm ready to. I'm prepared next week that you know we gonna get some really good music. So
yeah.
Just in like there's like three artists that I love listening to. Are going to be dropping records in the next couple of weeks, and I'm ready to rock.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So like, and that's just like just now. So like this year, like we're getting ready to be on. We you know even just our own. We talk about like records that we you know our favorite records for the year. I went back and looked up some stuff and was like, oh shit, that came out this year.
Mm-hmm. So much stuff.
Yeah, like fucking Griselda dropped like 9 projects this year. So crazy. You know what I mean.
Yeah,
like. There's a lot of stuff that was like, oh shit, like this stuff dropped. I gotta like reevaluate what I thought like was top records. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, there's just some really good projects that came out last week. Some really good stuff came out. That 2 Chainz record is insane. Mm.
He don't be missing neither.
No. He dead eyed, dog. He just, dead eye with his shit.
I don't know how it popped up. It might have been YouTube or something, but the last De La Soul album just randomly popped up for me, and his verse came on, and I was like, man, this motherfucker rapping.
Yeah.
Killing it.
Yeah. He's dead eye, dog. He's a dead eye shooter, dog, for real.
Yeah.
And then there was the Pluto Baby Pluto record with Future and Lil Uzi.
Uzi, yeah.
Another more Philly love. Yeah. So like there's been some really good records come out lately.
Yeah.
But yeah, all three of these records, the French Montana CB5, check that out for sure. Meg Thee Stallion, Good News, check that out. Meek Mill's Quarantine Pack, check that out. Some definitely stellar shit coming out. And we can start rapping.
Yeah.
So you wrote about a it's little known group. Like, not a lot of people know about them.
They're pretty underground, you know.
Yeah, really underground. Group called The Roots.
Yeah.
They released a seminal classic. Yep. And Do You Want More?
Yeah, 1994. Do You Want More?
Yes, and you wrote about that.
Yeah, I wrote a little ebook. It's not like a full book. It's about 3,000 words. It's for the Halfway Books publishing endeavor by the homie Shay Serrano. Shout out to Shay. He basically put out a call for music writers and journalists to write a piece on a classic hip hop album that like meant a lot to them. And I think 1,100 people, 1,200 people, something like that, submitted pitches. And I was one of five that was picked. And basically, I did a deep dive into Do You Want More? It's a really interesting record because for me, they were kind of, they had established themselves or were trying to establish themselves as like a live band, but also this was their major label debut. So they were trying to figure out what they would sound like on wax. So it was a lot of experimentation on the record. It was recorded here in Philly at the legendary Sigma Sound Studio. You know what I'm saying? That David Bowie did Young Americans there, Gamblin' Huff did all of the Philly International stuff there. And then they mixed the record with Bob Power, who did Tribe Called Quest and like everybody else. You know what I mean? So it's a really experimental record, and it doesn't sound like pretty much anything, you know, anything else. And they turned the record in, I want to say, in June of 94, and or maybe May of 94, and Kurt Cobain killed himself in April. They were signed to, they were both signed to Geffen Records, Nirvana, and The Roots. And Kurt Cobain killing himself basically made the band paranoid. They thought, like, yo, we might get dropped. Geffen might drop a bunch of groups because they're like in crisis.
They're cash cow. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody knows what's happening. So they turned the record in, The Roots, and then they basically like escaped to Europe. And they spent the summer in Europe playing like jazz festivals and absorbing like all of this music. That was the time when drum and bass was being invented and acid jazz, that whole scene was popping. So I illustrate and like really like talk about that summer that they, you know, lived in Europe and came back with kind of like a broader perspective on music, on the music that they were making. And when they got back, you know, Geffen had already set the whole thing in motion for them to release this record. So it's kind of like a multi-layered narrative. It talks about the influences that shaped the group, them making the record, and then this period of them being in Europe kind of getting their ducks in a row as a band. You know what I mean? So it's, I think if folks like The Roots and if you like, you know, deep dives into hip hop that are have like a lot of information and shit, I think folks will really like it. It's up now for pre-order. You can order it if you go to gumroad.com. That's G-U-M Road, R-O-A-D, all one word, .com/JohnMorrison215. Or if you go to JohnMorrison215.com, you can find it on my website, and then you can purchase the pre-order, and then you'll get the whole piece on December 1st.
Yeah, I mean, we have it linked in our Twitter. We have it. If you go to our IG, it's on either my personal IG or the podcast IG. It's linked in our bios in our link tree.
Yeah.
So just go in there. It'll say, like, do you want more book? And you click on that link. You can order it right through there. Like you said, or you can do the John Morrison 215. Your site is actually linked right there. So, so yeah, you can get it right on that that link. But yeah, I mean, I'm super excited for it. I already have it ordered. Now it comes in, it's coming out on the 1st, right?
Yeah, December 1st.
Word. So yeah, I mean, go do that. Or you hit up seriousrapshit.com. Mm-hmm. Grab you some merchandise. If you're watching this, I actually have our shirt on as we speak. Mm-hmm. There's some dope merchandise on there. There's some stuff that's going to be added real soon. Two more designs. We still have the Abolish ICE t-shirts available.
Yeah.
Through Incest Trap and Yoga. And part of that money goes to families being separated at the border for legal aid. Also, you're supporting a black woman owned business. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you can't go wrong there.
Yeah, double win.
You hit our YouTube, Serious Rap Shit podcast. There's a bunch of video content up there. There's going to be, right now, we're in a situation where we're getting ready to start pumping out a lot more visual shit for y'all, mm-hmm. To go along with the podcast. Shit that we're like super excited about. We have a bunch of things in the pipeline that are, I think, are some really cool ideas, and really excited for y'all to see. Also, if you're listening to this in the Apple Podcast app, you can rate and review us right in the app. It's really, really helpful. We really, really need it. Just go down there, give us 5 stars, because, I mean, what else would you give us? And, you can write a review if you can. If not, I get it. But, like, any of those reviews, they really help. So, mm-hmm. like, you know, if you can, take a second, go in there, throw in a review for us. Other than that, I think we'll be back next week. I mean, I know we'll be back next week, but
maybe we might come back next week. We don't know.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything else. I'm trying to think of anything else on top of my head. You know, a week off, like, right. That same ramble goes away after, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought about that. Podcast is over. You can turn it off. But I thought about that with my old job, because there's like 4 different passwords I needed to get into my like work stuff, mm-hmm. and all that kind of shit. And when I was out for like a while, I was like, dude, if I had to go back, I wouldn't remember none of the process. Yeah. I tried to think about it the other day of like, what did I have to do every day? And like, I couldn't even remember it because I had not done it for such a long time. Right. I mean, I'm never going back to doing that shit anyway, so it don't make a difference. But I just was like, wow, like, just a little time away and you forget all that shit. Yeah. Man.
Yeah. Your brain like smooths it over, basically.
Yeah, like a complete reset and shit. But yeah, other than that, yo, we'll be back next week, man. Y'all be good. Peace.
Peace.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.